We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now on to talk about the Oilers and also the Stanley Cup playoffs. You can follow Tom at Tom Gazzola on Twitter. TSN and TSN 1260 covering the Oilers up in Edmonton. Also, my former co-host on the Locked On NHL podcast. Tom, what's up, man? Long time, no talk.
Joe, good to hear from you. Good morning. Been a wild week and a half here at Edmonton, man. That's for sure.
By the way, real quick, are you a Star Wars guy? I forget.
I don't mind Star Wars. I'm looking forward to seeing Obi-Wan.
Okay. Okay, good. You have not seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet, no. I was
a little busy
over that game last night. Yeah, exactly.
how about, like, is that right? If you heard my intro there, like, five games? Like, it's got to be surprising for everybody that not only did the Oilers win it, but to win it, that, it was it, would you say it was easy? Because while they won it in five, there were a lot of close games.
Yeah, there were. And there was the way the series started. I mean, I was down in Calgary at the Saddle Dome for like first two games. And the way that 9-6 game went, you thought, oh boy, well, the Oilers ran over their heads. And the Flames just never seemed to snap back into Calgary's regular season mode. I mean, they were coughing up goals left, right, and center. Jacob Markstrom, who had a Vezina-caliber season, he's a finalist for the Vezina, as we all know. He got touched up, Joe, for five-plus goals in six of the nine games that the Oilers faced Calgary in this season and the postseason, and then four-plus in eight of nine. So Edmonton had the book on Markstrom. They got to him a lot. Mike Smith wasn't particularly great. I mean, you saw some of the goals he allowed. They're pretty bad, too. But Calgary's depth guys didn't show up. At times, the Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Lindholm, Matthew Tkachuk line didn't show up. They were good in game one. Outside of that, they weren't doing much until last night when they were in desperation mode. So it was a crazy series. And then the other thing on top of that is obviously what Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have done. This postseason, I mean, Draisaitl, 17 points in those five games is just unbelievable. He got four more points last night. McDavid, the talk here is that he's starting to write his legacy in the postseason, and that's what great players do. And it's become this magical run now all of a sudden that's got people in Edmonton believing again.
Yeah, I mean, you're a young guy, right? Like, have you ever seen a player play at this level that McDavid is right now? Like, because I know you're too young for Gretzky. I feel like you have to remember Gretzky or Lemieux, I think, to compare what he's doing now to anything.
I remember Jaromir Jagr when he was dominating, but it was nothing like this. I caught Gretzky at the tail end of his career, and Lemieux obviously was in and out of retirement, and he wasn't the same as the Lemieux we saw in the late 80s, early 90s. Whatever this is that we're witnessing from Connor McDavid is like the next evolution of the hockey player, and it's absolutely phenomenal to see. Joe, I've told you many times, like, covering him in person over the last 7 years, seeing what he's capable of doing, the speed at which he does it is stuff that, you know, most people in the hockey world, I would say 99% of people, couldn't have even dreamed of when it comes to doing the types of things he does with his skill at that speed. It's just unbelievable. And again, yesterday he finds a way to get it done, and here we are talking about the Oilers going to the conference final for the first time since 06.
Did it feel like it needed to happen this year? Because you mentioned it's been 7 years with McDavid in Edmonton and being the best player in the world for in maybe all of that. Did it feel like it needed to happen where they went on a deep playoff run? Maybe not necessarily for like McDavid to be happy, but or even for his legacy. But just like it goes on long enough. You have a player like that. Like at some point, you got to feel like there's got to be a playoff run in here somewhere.
Yeah, and this year, a lot of the narrative was, well, they have to at least win a round because the last two postseasons were an absolute disaster. They get swept by the Jets last year in the first round. They lose in the qualifying round to Chicago in four games in the bubble. And that's after a couple of seasons where they finished second in their division. They finished second in the division again. People wanted to see them get past the first round. They did that in seven. There was a couple of scares there against the LA Kings. And then this series, you know, you mix in the Calgary Flames, and all of a sudden you're thinking, it's the Battle of Alberta. Edmonton was 4-1 against Calgary in the Battle of Alberta in franchise history. Maybe, just maybe they could pull it off. And Daryl Sutter had the Flames playing such good hockey. They had an excellent regular season. Edmonton went 2-2 against Calgary in that regular season. And then after game one, again, people thought, oh boy, this is a disaster. And then game two didn't start particularly great. And then the Oilers clawed their way back and managed to take games three and four. And the belief system started to come back. So I think that a lot of the reaction on my post-game show has been, yes, this is already a successful season. But the thirst for more is there. And yeah, the Oilers with their high-end firepower, picking up Evander Kane, and now having these young guys starting to evolve and really hit their stride in their peak of their careers and the prime of their careers, this is going to have to be the standard now, where you at least get through a couple of rounds and compete for the Stanley Cup. So this year, it's already a success in most people's eyes, but I think now the bar has been set and elevated a little bit higher, Joe, because now people can see what these guys are capable of.
Can't be good for your golf game, though. I'm guessing you're not getting out as much as you might in past years.
It's a disaster for my golf game. I'm sitting there looking at beautiful green grass. The sun's out. It's nice and warm here in Edmonton, believe it or not. And we're stuck at the rink, which is just fine because there's nothing like covering the playoffs, that's for sure.
Tom Gazzola on the Wester Hotline, at Tom Gazzola on Twitter, covering the Edmonton Oilers. So they're on to the Western Conference Finals, and Colorado is, they're having a tough time, a tougher time than I think many thought they'd have with St. Louis. Do you want, I mean, for storyline reasons, for legacy, for star versus star, do you want Colorado just to see McDavid versus MacKinnon in an entire series?
That series, if it happens, it's likely to happen, I think would be phenomenal. And the storylines are just outstanding because these are the two most explosive guys. You see what MacKinnon did the other night against St. Louis in a losing cause, and you're like, geez, the best players elevate their games in the postseason, and we're seeing that with guys like MacKinnon and obviously Landeskog, Rantanen, Makar, amazing. Yeah, I think that would be the sexier series for sure. But it's interesting watching the Blues. They still have that championship pedigree. They still have guys that know how to get it done in the playoffs. It's a team that's only a couple of years removed from a Stanley Cup win. So Edmonton has had trouble with both the Blues and the Avs this season. Edmonton had success with the Blues and the Avs this season. Edmonton took the Avs to overtime a couple of times, and then late in the season did beat Colorado. So, you know what? Surprisingly, Edmonton had a better time against the Avalanche. Not to say that it's going to be the same thing in the playoffs, but both of those teams are good teams, and they're going to be huge challenges for the Oilers. And you know what? They're going to be tougher outs than the Calgary Flames were. And I'm surprised to say it, but Edmonton found a way to get past Calgary. I think that the adjustments Jay Woodcroft made against Daryl Sutter and the Flames were the difference. And then on top of that, you've got the X factors in Draisaitl and McDavid. And Woodcroft's going to have his work cut out for him against either Colorado or St. Louis. But yeah, Joe, I mean, the opportunity to see McDavid and Draisaitl against MacKinnon and Landeskog and Makar and all those guys, I think that's what people are just kind of thirsting for. But either one of those teams is a huge challenge for this Oilers club.
What stops them from getting through to the next round? The first thing that comes to my mind is a couple of soft goals that Mike Smith has given up, including the one from his own zone, and there was one maybe last night. No, deflected. It was deflected by Backlund. I remember originally thinking that. But like, is that it? Is it goaltending that you think is most likely to stop them from going all the way?
Yeah, well, Mike Smith is a wild card, and you kind of don't know what you're going to get, but he continues to battle through. Yes, goaltending is a huge factor. And then on top of that, how does Edmonton's defense hold up? I mean, that was a huge question mark for this team going into the year. It's been surprisingly good this season. You know, there's nights where Evan Bouchard and Duncan Keith are paired up and they have awful nights, and then they bounce back with a few good games in a row. And when they have pressure on them, sometimes they have a penchant for coughing up the puck, and that leads to goals. And we've seen that time and time again. However, they were good for the last four games of that series. They really, really solidified their game. So the Oilers' blue line, which has been good, surprisingly, would be a huge question mark as well. And then, I mean, another one, just to throw it out there, is if you can find a way to stop McDavid and Draisaitl, that's a huge key to success. But you've got a guy in Zach Hyman who's playing extremely well. He's been an absolute motor on every line he's played on. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins has risen to the occasion a couple of times in this postseason. Then Evander Kane, all he does is score goals. So Edmonton is getting contributions from more than just two guys, and that's worth pointing out. But the goaltending and the defense have been the question mark all season long, and they should remain that way as the question mark going into any series. So we'll see what happens, but so far so good, Joe.
What about the team they eliminated last night? So the Flames now go into the offseason, and like the first thing that I hear on the ESPN broadcast, at least here in the States, was that it's Johnny Gaudreau going down the handshake line. It's like, oh, we might have just seen Johnny Gaudreau play his final game for the Calgary Flames, and there's rumors about, does he want to go home to Philadelphia? One, do you buy that? Do you think it was likely that we saw Gaudreau's final game in a Flames uniform last night? And if that's the case, I don't know, does Calgary just keep going with what they've got? What do you think the future holds for them?
Yeah, with Gaudreau, it's interesting because there were trade rumors about him a year or two ago with his contract about to expire. This year, there was no real talk or whispers, at least, you know, hearing stuff here in Edmonton, which is pretty close to Calgary, about his contract status, about any potential negotiations happening behind the scenes. Prior to game one, in his press conference at the Saddle Dome, he was asked about that, and he said, you know what, I told my agent I don't want to hear about it this season. I'll wait till the year is over. Well, the year's over, and now all of a sudden people are going to be asking, is he coming back? He's going to want a big ticket. He's probably going to want somewhere in the $10 million range to start. And, yeah, the allure of going back to the New Jersey, maybe Philadelphia area is absolutely there. This is a great player in his prime, too. Mm-hmm. So it's possible we saw him play his last game as a Flame. That team is still pretty good without him, although he's a huge, huge piece of the Calgary Flames, and Daryl Sutter has them playing a style of game that has led to a lot of success. They're a deep team. They're a good team, and they should continue to be for a few more years at least with what they have in place, with or without Johnny Gaudreau. But I think it's possible Gaudreau walks. I mean, he's earned that right to take a look around now after playing so many years in Calgary. And, you know, I think Calgary provides a great opportunity for him to be on a good team for a long time. But, I mean, the heart strings get tugged on, especially when home comes calling. And we'll see what happens. But I think the potential for him to walk away from the Flames is there. And we'll see what happens in mid-July when free agency kicks in. But Oilers fans, I'll tell you this, Joe, Oilers fans would give him a care package on his way out if he does decide to walk and leave Calgary.
And then finally, how about jumping over to the East for a second? The Lightning specifically. I mean, they're in the conference finals, seventh time, I think, in 12 years. It's possible, at least. They're the second favorite to Colorado. But they could win a third straight Stanley Cup. Does it almost feel like we're not giving enough attention to we might be watching a dynasty unfold in front of our eyes? Or I wonder, Tom, like maybe they're not getting as much credit as they would for winning back-to-back cups because one happened in a bubble and then another happened against like teams where like there weren't as many fans in the building as you normally would have. So I don't know. Where are you on Tampa? Is this a dynasty that we're watching in the making here?
I think so. I mean, how can you? The bubble, first of all, was insane. I mean, yeah. I covered those games in the bubble, and the mental grind of just being stuck in a hotel with a plaza that was turned into like a backyard type of thing with a Tim Hortons coffee truck in it. the guys that were there for the whole 2 months, just they were at wit's end. So that in itself was actually tougher than I think a lot of people give it credit for. And then last year was bizarre too, but man, you're still going through four rounds of the playoffs. You're still battling hard. No, there wasn't any fans, or there's limited fans for a while for a lot of that season. But Joe, legit, like this Tampa team, to go back-to-back, yes, in bizarre circumstances, is still very impressive. And then if they come back and punch their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final again this year and happen to win it, you can't deny them being a dynasty, and you can't deny them being one of the great teams in NHL history, because I would almost say that the circumstances were even harder, considering there was nothing normal about the last couple of years. I don't think it made it any easier for the players. You know, we all know how messed up the last 2 years were, and to play pro sports in those two seasons was tough. So, yeah, I think that maybe we are on the cusp of another dynasty, and Tampa deserves credit. And they're going to get the love that they deserve. And I think we kind of – I mean, I was surprised that they took care of Florida that quickly. But you know what? When they get into this Eastern Conference Final here and they get back to business and they're winning games, I think we're going to start talking about the dynasty of the Tampa Bay Lightning in short time, because what they're doing is pretty – damn impressive, and we'll see if they can do it again. But you know what? That's the magic of the playoffs as well. Maybe they end up coming short, and maybe a team rises to the occasion, but they look like a championship-caliber team again, and it's impressive to watch, and we'll see how this story continues to unfold.
Tom Gazzola on the Western Hotline. Check out his stuff at Tom Gazzola on Twitter. The oil stream is good with him and Dustin Nielsen. Good follow throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. TSN 1260. Tom, thanks again, man, on short notice for joining me. And try to squeeze in 18 somewhere here.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.